you're looking for Jesus to come. And for those that look for Him, you know what's the average Baptist up and down the road of life? They've bowed their head, been through a profession, got into the baptistry. They've been on a church roll for many, many years. But let me tell you, they've never once been conscientious of the fact that Jesus could come at any given time and moment. In the Bible lesson, you can tell that as we begin to look into it, did you notice there, the Bible said, so Christ once offered to bear the sins of many. Well, you see, that's the reason people get fouled up, is when they read John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, what that is, that's potentially. See what I'm talking about? We already know that most of the world, narrow is the way that leads into life. Few there be that find it. Most of the world is going the broad road, the broad way, making it up as they go along. I want to say to you that, if you will, that real life is everlasting life that comes from God. And let me tell you, I hope you're one of the many that receives that. I mean, potentially the whole world could receive it, but actually it'll only be those that repent toward God and by faith believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look there, if you will, please, in 1 Timothy. There's a passage there that we ought to look at. It's about chapter number 4 in the book of 1 Timothy, and it's in about verse number 9. We'll take up reading there. He says, and this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. He said, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. Watch it. Especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Somebody were to ask you, do you know anything actually about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know anything potentially about the Lord? Yeah, Jesus died for you potentially. But actually, it'll only be applied to you if you repent toward God and by faith believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's going to be a repentance and faith that He's going to have to give you by the hearing of the word of the Lord. I was thinking about in this lesson that you're looking at, not only do we want to live, and that's good to want to live, and you and I want our family to live. That's the reason we pray so earnestly and so hard, that when we're knowing that, hey, that the chapter of this life is about to be closed, and we get it serious and we try to get it straight and we try to go ahead and back up and try to make up for as much time as we've lost and ill-reputed living that we've been involved, and we try to do everything we can to get it squared. Let me tell you and I can't never get it squared. I'm glad that over 2,000 years ago the Lord Jesus Christ got it squared for us. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, the Bible said, while you turn to the book of Luke in chapter number 10, in the book of Luke in chapter number 10, there's a passage over there that we ought to be looking at. In the book of Luke in chapter number 10, in about verse number 25 is where we'll be taken up. When man's born into this world, he has physical life. And let me tell you right now is that you'll find, when man's born and you got physical life, you're a living specimen who is half dead. You understand that? I'm looking right here. If you're not saved tonight in this building, you're alive physically, but you're half dead. You're dead spiritually. Now I want you to watch and pay close attention. Notice that, if you will, please, that in chapter 10, verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer. I mean, every now and again, a lawyer wanted to talk to Jesus, and a lawyer stood up and he tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, he wasn't wanting nothing from Jesus. He wanted to tempt the Lord Jesus. And, of course, here's what Jesus, and he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? He answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and I am thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Jesus talking, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Now I want you to watch that, if you will, that this man that started out wanting to ask a question, he's doing it to tempt the Lord. And look in verse 29. but he willing to justify himself. There's a reason why if you're in this building tonight and you haven't yet come to know Jesus in the free pardon of sin, you've been blessed with physical life and well-being, and here you are, and you've never trusted in the Lord when he came knocking to give you repentance, when he came knocking on your heart's door to give you faith, you willingly tried to justify yourself, and so that's what this man here was going to do. Let me say to you that, if you will, that Jesus, that whenever he told him, he said, he willing to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" All right, now verse 30. Jesus answered and said, "As a certain man," he's about to answer him, "certain man went down to Jerusalem from Jericho," or went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, "and he fell among thieves, and which stripped him, and of his remnant, and he wounded him, and parted, and leaving him half dead." I mean, here's a guy that's still got physical life, doesn't he? He's done obviously half spiritual life, but he's half dead. "And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, whenever he was at that place, came and he looked on him and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, and pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, took care of him. And on the morrow, whenever he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, whenever I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor?" He's answering that man. He said, "Who is my neighbor?" And he says unto him that fell among the thieves, "Which one of it was his neighbor that on this man?" And he said, the lawyer speaking, "He that showed him mercy upon him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go thou and do likewise." I want to say to you that whenever you begin to look into the gift of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God, is that you got a condition that you've been beat up and left to die as far as the devil's concerned, and there's nothing anybody else can do about it. Religion passes on one side and walks right on and leaves you there. But you'll find the Good Samaritan came right where he was. And not only did he come there, he found him. Remember when the Lord found you? You're sitting here tonight. Remember when the Lord found you? Every now and again, you ought to just come aside from all the muss and fuss of life. Just rejoice and be glad and thank God for when he found you. See? I want to tell you something. Not only he found him, but he had compassion on me. And I'm glad to know that he loved us with a love that only he could, in a divine sense, could love us with. The Bible said that he had compassion, and he went down to where he was at. And the Bible said he bound up his wounds, set him on his own beast, and carried him to an inn. Not only that, but he paid the bill. He said, "Now here, this will take care of it and up to a point, but if I owe you more when I come back, I'll take care of it." Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know and say that it's by the mercy of God that you and I have had such treatment granted to you and I. I got to say to you, the Bible said that whatsoever the Lord doeth, over in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 and about verse 14, whatsoever the Lord doeth, he doeth forever. And nobody can put anything or take anything away from it. God doeth it so that men may fear. I'm telling you something right now. The Lord Jesus Christ can give you life. Physically, he'll give you life everlasting if you'll come to him as an empty-handed beggar, or as he comes to you, receive it as such. Now, I want to say to you, if you are not prepared to die, then you're not prepared to live. See? Do you know that at any given time, any given point, I remember years ago, old brother Bill Allen was preaching along here, and he said, "Do you realize that, though, that the only reason why your heart beats another beat, God gives it permission to do so? If God ever said, that's it, it'll beat no more. You're gone, see." Isn't that something? I don't know about you, but I felt my my wife's pulse today while she was doing her walk, you know. I said, well, does it make your heart beat? I don't know. She's walking pretty good up and down the hall there, you know. And I felt of it, and oh, yeah, man, it felt like a drum beating. You remember that song that they used to, that little drum special in there that they did, that Wipeout song and all that? Well, it was beating about half that. I want to say to you that, if you will, that physical life, it's good to know that. It's good to know we've got it. And if God says, that's it, don't beat another time, we're going home. We're headed home. Now, I got to tell you right now, it's normal for you to want to live as long as you possibly can. Anytime a person gets to the place where they just, oh, I just wish I could die. No, you don't. You don't really wish you could. And if you did, you're just, because you're talking out of pity, you're talking out of pressure, you're talking out, no doubt, out of turn with God. While you and I get to the end of our rope and want to die, God wants to bind us up and fix our wounds and let us be marching with Him until He comes again for us. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm saved by the grace of God. I don't like it when my doctor says, how long since you had your stroke? Well, year last October. When do you want your next one? I don't want the next one. Well, you better keep taking that medicine that I prescribed for you. That's what he says. Let me ask you this. Are you taking, am I taking, are we taking what the Lord has prescribed for us? Well, we'd better. We certainly had better. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be alive, and I'm glad to be able to witness. You know, there was people there, if you read the rest of that chapter in John chapter 1, there are people there that men love darkness rather than light and so forth and on. And John the Baptist came because they couldn't understand what they were reading and all that, and he came to preach to them. And that's what our job is, with our lip and our life. We're to show our family, our friend, our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids, our fellow man. We're to show them the difference between just being religious and made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. Let's stand to our feet. Our Father, we want to thank you for loving us. Even